Friend and mentor indeed.
Yes. Lindsay and I have some great stories, but unfortunately, because our husbands hunt together, our stories kind of pale. You know, like we get together and like, oh yeah, we had tea together and we went to this restaurant. And they're like, we killed beasts. So it's a little problematic, but so we just want to win out at some point with our storytelling. So Lindsay and I need to have some grand adventure so that we can like have a big story to tell at the dinner table. So the lamp vibe, is this like for aesthetics? Yeah, good job. It's like mid-century modern? Yeah, good job. I'm liking it. So fun. So I actually have a missions title tonight. I'm going to tell it to you so you can like get it in your mind, so we'll kind of hit these points as we go. But our title is going to be Jesus, the Mission, and the Method. So keep that in your heart as I start. So I love my front row folks. I'm going to, like, coming to the front row means something, so good job. I started my Chi Alpha career on the front row, and so it's like I have a special affinity right here. I went to a church where Chi Alpha students attended in high school, and so I knew I wanted to get involved with Chi Alpha. So I'm one of those rare students that knew what it was before I came to campus. And I knew we met on Tuesday evening in the student union, and I had a big, you know, the Bibles that we're passing out there, those big like thumper Bibles? I had a big old thumper Bible. And I brought my big old thumper Bible. Does anyone have like a big old Bible with you? Any big old Bibles? Is that our biggest one? Okay, hold it up. All right. Okay, I think you win. Yeah, show that. All right. Okay, let me see this one. I want to see the big thumper Bible. What do you guys think? This or this? Hold them up again, because this one's too little. What do you think? All right, is it Caitlin? Kayla, you're going to appreciate this later, but you just won yourself a registration to the World Mission Summit. That's a big win. Good job. If you would have been like on the front row with your big thumper Bible, you may have even won more, but hope to see you next year at the World Mission Summit because you won yourself a registration. Okay, so I'm a freshman at the University of Arizona, Tucson, Arizona. I'm going to my first Chi Alpha meeting. I have a big old thumper Bible under my arm, and I come up to the front row, and I had dragged my sister with me. She's still in high school, but I didn't want to go to Chi Alpha by myself. So halfway through this meeting that was, even though it was quite a few years ago, it was actually quite similar to our meeting today. We had a guitar player, we had a worship band, very similar. I mean, these look kind of old. We may have even had these lamps. It's kind of possible. So it was actually a similar experience. And I remember like leaning over to my sister and saying, Cindy, I have found my people. And I honestly think it was maybe my first prophetic word where I really like heard from God and was like, these are my people. And I think what drew me to this community that still draws me to this day, and so like it or not, you're my people, and thank God you kind of yelled for your parents because I'm probably in your parents' generation, so good job that helped me come up here. The lamps and shouting for your parents. That was a win. Good job. So I said I found my people. And I really thought that meant for the next 4 years. I was getting an education degree. I thought I would teach third grade and then get my master's degree and become a principal and live happily ever after. But Chi Alpha was going to give me a good foundation, and I was going to learn to love Jesus more with this community. So that was partially true. I started with Chi Alpha, and I loved it. I began to grow in my faith. But something happened toward the end of my career. For one thing, I ended up, go ahead and go to the next page, the next slide, so you can see my amazing family. My husband was part of the Chi Alpha staff at the University of Arizona. So we started dating after, like, you know, I got my teaching degree. We started dating. We ended up getting married. So I kind of married into Chi Alpha. You know, I started as a student, and then later I'm like, well, I married into Chi Alpha, so I'll be in Chi Alpha, yay, for the rest of my life. Teach school, love students. But the Lord did something really dynamic in my life just as I was newly married, I was in a little small church, and I was planning a mission trip. So my whole Chi Alpha career started, like ministry career started in a mission service. And I was in a place very similar to where we are tonight, and the Lord spoke to my heart, and it was really significant. He spoke this word, "I'm calling you to lead this generation to the nations." And it kind of set really deep inside of me where God began to start breathing in my life and heart that he was going to use Chi Alpha to open a new pipeline to the nations. I don't know if you know the amazing passport skills that you have as students. And when you start learning the word of God and understanding his heartbeat for the nations and wonder and starting to understand, if not us, who? If not now, when? There's not like a B, like we're the A team, and so if we say no, there's like a B team. There's no B team. And so the Lord began to percolate in my heart this vision of mobilizing college students to the nations. And can I tell you, that was 30 years ago. And today, Chi Alpha sends more missionaries around the world than any of our entities within the church we serve, or even within, I mean, we love our fellow ministries, Navigators, Crew, InterVarsity that we work alongside, but guess what? Chi Alpha is known as the missions movement, because we are the movement that says yes to the Great Commission in just record numbers. So today, I pray as the Lord began to percolate in my heart 30 years ago, Crystal, I'm calling you to lead this generation to the nations. I am praying all of your heart is fertile soil for the call of God in your life, and that you will allow God to speak specifically to you. Lindsay had a word for us that God has specific words for us. There's the corporate word, but then there's also specific. And I do believe that God is going to speak specifically into your hearts, just like he did to me with my big thumper Bible on the front row. And just as he did to me, I thought I was heading to a career as a third grade teacher and then potentially a principal. And the Lord changed my direction. And I've spent my entire life in Chi Alpha calling your generation to say, we can do this. We can go to the nations. We can change the world. Does anybody here believe me? All right, I need some people to believe me. So my family, I have two sons and a daughter-in-law, and we really are a Chi Alpha family. Both of my sons, when they got college age, got involved in Chi Alpha, were very involved. My son on the edge, Mercer, he went to the right. That's Mercer, that's my oldest. Daughter-in-law is married to the guy in the middle. So you have Marcus, Molly, and then Mercer's on the end. So Mercer went to law school and stayed involved in Chi Alpha his whole time through law school. So when I hear sophomores don't have time for small group, I'm like, oh, if you can do it through law school, I think you can do it your sophomore year. So he stayed completely engaged, led small group, led worship. So my family has very much been involved. My son spent a year in St. Petersburg doing global missions, and my younger son and his wife did a Chi Alpha internship for a year. So we've all been involved in Chi Alpha. We definitely are a Chi Alpha family, and grateful for my husband, who's the Chi Alpha National Director, and just getting to walk alongside my Chi Alpha family. From the Thumper Bible to Chi Alpha family, God is good. So before we get into our Jesus, the mission, and the method, before we get fully into this sermon, I do want to let you know, just because I know someone's asked, now where do you live, just a little bit about, so God spoke to us, lead this generation to the nations. We were at the University of Arizona at the time, and this kind of larger global call meant we had to move to the metropolis of Springfield, Missouri. So who knew? That's where Chi Alpha, like, headquarters out of, is this little town in southwest Missouri. So we, like, loaded the U-Haul. Who knew we could start a missions movement from Springfield, Missouri? But we did it. So it's like a Bethlehem, right? So we have lived in Springfield, Missouri, which is the national headquarters, for the past 25 years. We own a little small ranch outside of Springfield, so now we have maybe 15 head of Red Angus cattle, two horses. So when we're home, we have a retreat, and we travel all over the world calling students to the nations. may not know this, there are 280 Chi Alpha chapters around the nation and thousands around the world. Those of you who end up going to Indonesia, you are going to see a thriving Chi Alpha ministry in Indonesia. There's hundreds of ministries in the Philippines. Europe is full of Chi Alpha. South America, we're growing exponentially in Africa. So you are a part of a global movement from Colorado State University to the ends of the earth. Jesus, the mission and the method. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that you make each of our heart fertile soil for your word. God, I believe you have a corporate word for all of us, and you have an individual word for each of us individually, Lord. Open our spiritual ears so we will hear, and open our spiritual eyes that we will see what you are doing in our day. Amen. So, Jesus, we all have to wrestle with who is Jesus. When we get to Matthew 16, Jesus is with his disciples, and he comes to them and he asks this question. He says, who do people say that I am? What an interesting question. I could ask you that question today. Who do people here on CSU say that I am? Who do people say Jesus is on CSU campus? And if I asked you, you'd probably come up with some answers. Some of them say, you know, maybe he was a good guy. Maybe he loved people. Maybe he was a prophet. Maybe he had some good axioms. Maybe, you know, I don't know. I've never heard of Jesus. So you probably would hear a bunch of different things if you went on campus and asked, who is this Jesus? But all of us have to wrestle with that. Every single person on the earth have to wrestle with that. And someday, I pray that every person on the earth gets the opportunity to hear these words, but who do you say that I am? Not who they say, who do you say that I am? And I have a feeling Peter had his thumper Bible. He may have been on the front row. He was the first one to raise his hand, and he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Each one of us have to wrestle with who do we say Jesus is. I remember when we did missions work as we're leading this generation to the nations. We started calling college students, which, by the way, we're calling you to give a year and pray about a lifetime in missions. I've shared this with thousands of college students. The Mormons are giving 2 years and we're giving excuses. Who's ready to give a year and pray about a lifetime? All right, if you like it, good. There we go. So, the lamps. Okay. So, we all have to wrestle with who is Jesus. So God began to speak to my husband and my family, and the Lord led us to lead the way. If we're going to ask college students to give a year, we had to give a year. Lindsay and Nate have given a year. We went to the country of Kyrgyzstan and Kazakhstan. So it was our year in Kazakhstan. And we started Chi Alpha on the university. It's a Muslim country, but we do a lot of the same things that you do here at CSU. And we started our semester with dodgeball. That seems dangerous, but that's what we did. We went on campus. You got to collect students, right? You got to bring them into community somehow. So we decided to bring them in community through dodgeball. Not me. I'm not playing dodgeball. I don't want to throw a ball hard, and I don't want to get hit. So I am sitting on the sidelines while students are playing dodgeball. Coming from campus, the Kazakh students are loving it, so we're starting to crowds gathering. Well, a young woman came, and because she had high heels on, see, you never know, high heels changed her destiny. So she had high heels on, so she is not going to play dodgeball. She comes and sits next to me, and we begin to step into relationship. We talk about family, we talk about friends, we talk about education, we talk about dreams and visions, and all of a sudden, Rima was having to start wrestling with who is Jesus, because Jesus is in me, right? She's having to start wrestling with what's different about this person? Why are we having questions? Why is there levels of community I haven't experienced? So I invited Rima to my Bible study. I said, hey, are you interested in knowing more about Jesus? We had talked about her like in our high heels. I wasn't in high heels, but I wasn't playing dodgeball. And so we started talking. I invited her to my small group and I said, hey, do you want to learn more about Jesus? So if I would have asked her that night, who do you say Jesus is, she would have said a prophet, because most Muslims believe Jesus is a prophet. She would have said, he's a prophet. So I invited her into my small group. She began to play dodgeball, do all the activities Chi Alpha does. She came to large group, small group. She was engaged. But probably the first 3 months, if I asked her who's Jesus, she would have said, he's a prophet. He's a good man. He said good things. He did good things. But I'll never forget the night that somebody got up in our small group and told her testimony of when Jesus became more than a prophet or a good person or somebody who did something good in the earth, or as C.S. Lewis says, he's either a liar, a lunatic, or the Lord. However you wrestle with who he is, she had been wrestling with that. And then in this small group, that's why I think many of you small group leaders are the heroes of this movement, because you walk with people as they're wrestling with who is Jesus, right? You're wrestling. So she's wrestling with it, and she heard a testimony. Another young new believer stood up and said, you know, I came to Kazakhstan. She was from northern Italy. I came to Kazakhstan because I wanted to learn language, but I got so much more. I got the gift of Jesus. And because of that gift, my life is transformed. Who are you? You are the Lord, the Son of the living God. You are the greatest gift this world has ever known. I thought I came for language. You have people on this campus that are saying, you know, I came for a degree. I came to advance my life. They don't know why they came to this campus. They came to this campus to encounter the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so she said, I received the greatest gift I've ever received. And right then, Rima, something happened in her life, just like with Peter. What does it say when Peter said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God? Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood. I don't think it's my good works or the fact I sat with her while she was in her high heels that made her waken to Christ. Who did it? It's not flesh and blood, friends. There is power to every time a person stands up and said, he is Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the greatest gift this world ever knew. When you stand up. So what happened to Simon when he said this? He said, you're no longer Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you this, you are now Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. He gave Simon a new name, and his new name meant rock, and on that rock he's going to build the church. Can I tell you tonight, although Rima, her name was Rima, when she lit up and said, I want that gift of Jesus, her face transformed. And although she didn't literally get a new name, it was if a new destiny was written over Rima. How many of you have walked with somebody in your small group that went and you see their face light up? And you say, oh, they get it. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to them, but they have a new name. Peter's new name was Rock. And Lindsay spoke today that God has something special for each of us. I believe today God's going to reveal to you a new name, that you already, a destiny that you're walking in. Although Peter was the beginning of the Church of Jesus Christ, the cornerstone of what God is building through the ages, I believe that some of you need to recognize your new name. Your new name may be Beloved. Your new name may be Courageous. Your new name may be Walking in Boldness. Your new name, I just believe that God is going to start whispering a new name into your life because you've been transformed not by flesh and blood, and you're going to start walking in that destiny. See, I want us to get as we're on mission is the fact that Jesus, and he does the heavy lifting. You just have to sit with the girl in her high heels, right? Or you have to get out and play dodgeball. He does the heavy lifting, but we need people that can go play dodgeball in the nations and bring the God of the universe through you. Missions is fun. We play dodgeball, right? It's fun. Missions is awesome. Half the world has not had one opportunity to wrestle with who Jesus is. We got to have some more people to go take dodgeball to the nations, and through that, see Rima's face light up, and now Rima is a strong minister to the people in Kazakhstan. Every human on this earth has to wrestle with who Jesus is, and once you've been given that new name, God will use you to build his church, amen? We have to wrestle with Jesus. Secondly, we have to wrestle with his mission. Right before he's heading up to heaven, he has been crucified, raised again. He brings his disciples close to him again, and he gives us what we call the Great Commission. It's at the end of Matthew. These are important words. They're some of Jesus' last words to his disciples. Jesus then came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." Now, I have a feeling these disciples, these early disciples, were trekking with him. They're like, "Yeah, we just saw you crucified. We just saw you raised from the dead. Yep, we're with you. You have authority. We got it." But I think what they may not have given, really, really fully gotten at that time, is all authority. All that is, all that was, all that is to be is under the domain of Jesus Christ. And because of that, he doesn't say, because all authority, I am above all rulers, over dominions, all heaven, earth, that which was, that which is to come. Therefore, go make a lot of money. Therefore, go get a really great job and make your parents super proud. Therefore, go make a name for yourself, have a legacy, hope that everybody gets to know you. What does he say? Therefore, go make disciples of all nations. That word go can often be translated as you are going. Everything you do. That's why in Chi Alpha we often say we live missions. It's not an event. You're going to go on mission trips. I'm prophesying every single one of you are going to be going on a mission trip this summer or this spring break. Don't make me a false prophet. Help me not become a false prophet, so go. So you're going to go to the nations, but going on a mission trip is not the mission. Right? The mission is that as we're going, everything we're doing, we are making disciples. Making disciples is the main verb in this sentence, not going. We're making disciples. You're making disciples. If you are a small group leader, you are in the process of making disciples, and you are seeing people transformed by the gospel every day. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. But if we think the of all nations is hard for us today, I kind of want you to think about those early disciples. Most of them had never even walked more than a 27-mile radius. They had been taught since they were children to live separate is to live holy. So inviting a foreigner into your home would have been unholy, and going to a foreigner would be unholy. And yet Jesus is wrecking their world and saying, go into all the nations and make disciples of all people, and this would have wrecked their world. So if tonight you think your world is wrecked, it is not. Compared to the early disciples, most of us have traveled and seen and known the world in a way these early disciples could never have. So in our day, when God is challenging us to go make disciples of all nations, we don't need to look to the right or the left or those that kind of love the nations more or those that kind of just love to have tea parties and, you know, that must be the people that are meant for the nations. No, we're all meant for the nations. And my friends, every one of those disciples, Peter died in India. The man that had probably never walked more than 27 miles ended up dying in India. So if they can do it today, we can do it. We can go make disciples of the nations. The mandate ends with these words, and I am with you even to the very end of the age. This moment that you and I are having together is the very last endest of the age this earth has ever had. Let's have a party. There has never been a more last day than the moment we're having, and so he is with us now. And he is with us on this journey. He is with us on the mission. In Chi Alpha, every generation has to take responsibility of this mandate. The early church took responsibility, and it was amazing in one generation how the entire earth was Christianized. When you read the early church and how they did it, it is powerful. Every generation has to take responsibility. What is our role in the Great Commission? How do we live mission? How do we make this a part of our everyday life? So in National Chi Alpha, we came up with a missions motto to help us contextualize the Great Commission in our generation. So here's what we ask every student to do. Every student needs to go. going on a cross-cultural mission trip at least once in your college career, or maybe four times, is something we can all do in order to make disciples of every nation. We've asked every student to say, to give a year and pray about a lifetime. As I mentioned, the Mormons have given, the Mormons have given 2 years. We've been giving excuses. When I started working with students, there was this concept of missions that they needed an angel to come visit them. So they'd be like, oh, Crystal, we're just praying, you know. They're having their career move, and they're like, you know, if in order to do missions, you know, I've got to pray about it for like 10 years, and then maybe an angel will visit me and say, go to the nations. We already have the Great Commission, so you don't need an angel. If you get one, God bless. I mean, I've always thought an angel in my room would be kind of fantastic, but we already have the Great Commission. Go make disciples of all nations. I remember one, we were doing a sign up for missions one time, and we were also doing a ski trip. So it was like sign up for a spring break mission, and then also the next weekend we were gonna do a ski trip. So I remember talking to students, and I was like, you know, you're going on the mission, are you going on the ski trip? And they're like, yeah, I'm going on the ski trip, but I'm praying about the mission trip. Does that make sense? Like, really, why would you need to pray about a mission trip and sign up for a ski trip? Probably the ski trip is more dangerous, right? So sometimes we have our theology messed up. When we think about missions, we think we need an angel to say, go. Or we think we have to have just some sort of a spectacular experience when we already have the mandate, right? Go make disciples of all nations. I just spoke to a student recently that was, he had heard the challenge. He was like, yes, I know, but he kind of just really didn't want to. It's okay. Like, you know, I'm really comfortable here. I really don't want to go. And he started just hearing the challenge to start to think about going, to go on a cross-cultural mission trip. And I think it was Corey I was talking to today, and I mentioned that oftentimes, before we engage on going, I call it the aquarium life. When I was in Kazakhstan, I was at a restaurant that was full of aquariums. And I remember going in and just feeling really sorry for these fish. Like, oh, they live in that little box their whole life. They're going to live and die in the box. And yes, there's a beautiful lake out here. There's a huge ocean, but not for these fish. And I think sometimes we don't recognize that we also live in an aquarium. There's like a little Target, right, in our aquarium. We have a little Starbucks, maybe. We have our family. We have our profession. We have even our church. But we kind of swim around in the box of our experience. And I believe through the Great Commission, the Lord wants to give us the ocean. He wants to take us out of our aquarium and take us to the ocean. So there was this young man that was just struggling with this. He was like, oh, I just don't know if I want to go. But he did take the challenge. So we ask every student to go, and we also ask every student to pray. Corey, thank you for our Operation World, which is really a prayer. It's a dynamic way to start praying for the nations. I say praying for the nations is like getting a passport in your spiritual stamp. It's like, sorry, a stamp in your spiritual passport. Passport in your spiritual, okay. The lamps. Get myself back on. Praying for the nations is like a stamp in your spiritual passport. So that my friend who was a student at the University of Houston, he said, all right, I'm not really ready to go, but I can start praying. And Luke 10:2 asks us to pray for laborers. Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. So he took the challenge to pray every day at 10:02, Luke 10:02, to pray for harvesters. As he began to pray, the Lord began to soften his heart. He didn't even recognize it, but he signed up to go on a trip that summer into Indonesia. He signed up. He went. He went to Indonesia. He came back. And the Lord began to change his heart for the nations. I just met this young man this last week. He's going for 2 years. So he went on a summer trip. The Lord changed his heart. He said he's sitting in his meetings. He's committed to give another 2 years into Indonesia to help plant campus ministry in Indonesia. His heart is so passionate for the nations now. He said as he's sitting here in this meeting, he had set his alarm for 10:02 every day. His alarm went off during this meeting after he had already committed to give 2 years to the country of Indonesia. And the Lord spoke to him and said, you see, you prayed, and I answered. You prayed for laborers, and I rose you up as a laborer into the nations. And so as we begin to pray, as we begin to go, as we begin to give, again, Corey, thank you for talking about giving. If you read literature of your generation, oh, I like to speak positively about your generation because you're amazing, but you're not known for generosity. Sorry. Just what the magazines say. I don't know if it's for sure, but they're saying statistically your generation isn't a naturally generous generation, but that's okay because Holy Spirit transforms us. So let's let the Church of Jesus Christ be naturally generous to say, yes, we're going to sacrifice so that we can give, so that we can be a part of the Great Commission with our finances. I have some friends that when they first got married, they made, and they were not wealthy people. They were just very middle class. They were a very middle class couple that got middle class jobs. But they believed that God spoke to them that they would give at least $1 million by the time they were 40. That was their goal. Can I tell you, God multiplied that as generosity started with the smaller things. They lived in a smaller house so they could give more extravagantly. And now they have, God's blessed them so greatly that they've given tens and 20 millions since they made that commitment to give $1 million by the time they're 40. As some of you are making commitments, radical commitments to go, some of you are going to have to give radical commitments to give, to say, I'm giving up the bigger house so that I can make sure my friend gets to Indonesia and is well funded. There's a radicalness about this kind of generous spirit that God is going to call your generation to. So be open to it. It's counterculture. It's countercultural, but God is going to be calling you to be givers. And then lastly, we ask every Chi Alpha student to welcome our international students. This was such a fun story. If you are an international student, we are so grateful you're here tonight. Such a fun story of an international student from Malaysia that came to Christ, had that revelation experience. Who is Jesus? He is the Son of the living God. This Malaysian student, his life was so transformed. So he was asked to pray at the Chi Alpha service. And as he was praying, God began to baptize him in the Holy Spirit, and he began to speak in a language he didn't know. He had never even heard of baptism in the Holy Spirit. If you haven't heard, come talk to me afterwards. We'll talk about it. He began to speak in another language, and then people started just breaking out right in the Chi Alpha meeting, speaking in different languages, and one American student came out speaking in perfect Malay, my son, my beautiful son. My son, my beloved, just like Jesus when he was baptized, his father said, you are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. This Malay student got his new name, you are my beloved. He stepped into that. That just happened a few weeks ago. Friends, God's bringing the best and the brightest of the nations to our place. Go make disciples of all nations. This isn't for the few, it's for the many. So let's just kind of go over this. What do we do to actualize the Great Commission? We go, we give, we pray, and we welcome, and we will live missions in our day. Lastly, we have to wrestle with Jesus. We have to wrestle with his mandate, his mission. And lastly, we have to wrestle with his method. Jesus, after he was, right before he was ascending into heaven, he told his disciples to stay in Jerusalem. And here he said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So he said, I have to leave because I'm sending my Holy Spirit. And you're going to receive power, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Can I tell you that we serve a God of power? And sometimes that can scare us. We're like, oh, what does that mean? Can I tell you, our story is a story of power. Like, Jesus came down from heaven and was birthed out of a virgin. It's a supernatural story, right? There's power to our story. He lived, he died, he rose again. He broke the power of sin in our life, and now he lives inside of us. It's a story of power. It's supernatural. His method is supernatural. He said, you will receive power to be my witness. Now, this is not the noun of witnessing. It is the verb of being. To be a witness is to be transformed by the inside out. Can I tell you, you need power to choose humility over pride. I'm a really selfish person, and if it was not for the transforming power of the Holy Spirit working in and dwelling in me, transforming me from the inside out so that I can go to Indonesia, so that I can lay down my life and follow Christ, to be obedient to His word in my life takes power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, His method is one of power. He wants to speak to you personally. He wants to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The scripture tells us the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. Can I tell you, I have been praying that this same power that dwells in us, that we will become Yellowstone geysers. You don't have to look around for where it is. If you have said yes to Jesus Christ and yes to His Holy Spirit, it is in you and it is ready to bubble out to change the world. That is His method. And so we have to step into, who is Jesus? He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's giving me a new name. He's asking me to step into his destiny. Second, He's asking me to step into His mission. Excite you? Like the God of the universe who has authority over heaven and earth is inviting us into His mission? Wow! By the way, it's fun. Remember dodgeball. Obedience is fun. Sometimes we think about carrying the cross, but I'm telling you, I have lived a life of mission and it has been a fun life. God's been with me ever since. So you got to step into the mission and you got to step into the method because the same power raised Christ from the dead is ready to transfer you from a selfish being. I admitted my selfishness. I think we all can, right? He wants to transform us from a selfish being that only thinks of ourselves to a person that puts others first and loves God with all of our heart. Is that not exciting? Tonight, Corey's going to be coming up. Are you? Lindsay's coming up. We're going to talk about missions. We're going to talk about the opportunities. It's your time. It's your generation's moment. Let's do this. Amen? Yeah.